providing Coleman with a unique blend of music from the People's Bank of Alabama studio. You're listening to Live 95, Coleman's independent radio. WRJMLP, Coleman.
.404 on a Tuesday afternoon. It looks like fall is just about here. Not a cloud in the sky, and it's about dadgum time. Welcome to Sports Talk Live on Coleman's independent radio station, Live 95. We are WRJMLP Coleman. Your hosts for Sports Talk Live, Jason Spiegel and Ronnie Barnes.
Thanks, Jay. Welcome, everyone, to the Tuesday edition of Sports Talk Live. As Jay said, Ronnie, football in the air. He didn't say it, but he said it in a roundabout
way. Yes, he did, and it certainly feels like it today, Jason. Beautiful day outside.
Boy, you can't beat this with a stick.
That's exactly right. Round of golf, and then go home, get ready to come talk a little football or whatever else sports-wise. Yeah,
tough,
but it is. It's a gorgeous day today.
Man, like I said...
That means both of you play golf today, right?
No,
not Jason.
Play golf. Jason wishes he could play golf.
I wish
I could play golf on a Saturday or a Sunday. It's been probably 10, 11 years since I played golf.
Surely you can get away from the office and go during the week sometime.
I could if I wanted to, but I don't want to embarrass myself.
Hey, you got to start somewhere.
Ronnie, speaking of embarrassment, let's get this out of the way right to start with.
What'd you do?
I didn't do anything.
Oh.
Cold Springs pretty much embarrassed Brilliant.
Yeah.
Friday night.
Well, at least, hey, we both won that one because we both picked Cold Springs to win.
And we picked them pretty big, I think.
And we did. You picked them bigger than I did, but we both picked them to win to beat Brilliant, and that's exactly what they did.
Wow. 41-14. Cold Springs Eagles 1-0, and they done so with a ground game, 347 yards on the ground. The defense forced 3 turnovers, and you knew they had to be forcing the turnovers. I seen the score, and there were 7 minutes and some odd seconds to go in the second quarter, and it's 41-0.
Yeah. So, oh, my goodness.
Yeah. So I think Coach Elliott at that time must have pulled the dogs back.
Ooh, and 41-0 starting early in the second. Is that what you said?
Not hardly midway of the second quarter.
Wow. So. Well, that's scoring every time as you said, that's scoring every time you've had it and scoring in a hurry and people turn it over probably deep in their own territory and you,
right.
You know, scoring again. So, man, basically 41 points in a quarter is,
that's stout.
I mean, is that any defense out there or is it like a scrimmage, you know?
It must have been.
Just 12.
Hand the ball off.
12 offense and no defense out there.
Junior
wow.
Nick Rolo led the ground assault with 138 yards, 3 touchdowns, and on just 9 carries. So he's eating up some real estate.
Pretty impressive average right there.
Yeah, I don't know. What would that be, 138 on 9 carries?
Well, it's about...
It's something.
Well, it's well over 10 yards a carry. About 15, 18 yards a carry, something like that.
And 3 touchdowns, so every third time he touched the football, he scored.
And he probably, those however many carries he had, those 9 carries, is probably all he played. You know, once those were over, he was probably out, you know, out of the game. So I'm sure a lot of young kids got to play a lot as Cold Springs beat Brilliant.
Right, not taking anything away from Cold Springs in this win, but Ronnie, you told me the other night size of Brilliant.
Yeah,
tell everybody the size of Brilliant.
Well, their numbers have gone down dramatically. 7 through 12, and I'm pretty sure this is correct, or I'm really close. They've got somewhere around 140 to 150 kids, 7 through 12. So.
Hey, it's a miracle they've got a football team.
Yeah, very low number. So, you know they've got a lot of, well, they can't have a lot, but, you know, they may have, you know, 8th graders out there. I'm not saying they're playing. I'm just saying, you know, to field a team, to have enough to justify having a team, they may have some, you know, as young as, you know, as middle schoolers out there. But that's got to be tough, you know, with the low numbers that they have in their school. So.
I wonder what the score could have been if Coach Elliott had just said, hey, we're going to pour on all
we
can. I think they would easily hit 80.
Well, you're talking about the half? Well, they had 40 at basically the end of the first, right?
Yeah.
So they would have scored, you know, I mean, you would think they would have at least scored 100. You know, of course, if it's Gus Malzahn, he'd have said, you know, he probably should have scored 250, something
and
like that.
He would have been right.
Because, you know, he's supposed to score a touchdown every time he gets the ball.
I have told a lot of people about our bet.
Yeah.
And I've yet to tell anybody that don't think that I've got the good end of this deal.
Really?
Yeah. Even Alabama fans are saying.
Well, Eddie disagrees with you.
Eddie's just saying that. if you had a gun to Eddie's head.
Yeah.
He would tell you the truth and tell you.
I'm still sticking by it. I think it's going to happen. I think potentially they're that good defensively. I really do. I think it's as good a team as a good a defensive team as they may have had in.
No, Alabama not too good defensively last year.
No, not last year. But I mean, I'm talking about the good years. You know, in 2011 and those years where they were just smothering.
So, what makes you think the defense is going to be so much better this year? Alabama was weak defending the pass last year. Auburn's going to have a better quarterback this year.
I agree. Their weakness was their defensive secondary. Their strength is up front. Their front seven is as good as any, if not better than any in the country, bar none. Their front seven is that good. If they can hold up to be that good, and these are all ifs, if they can put pressure on the quarterback, Your secondary doesn't have to be great.
Right.
However,
but they couldn't do it last year, so
you're going to see some different kids playing in the secondary that you didn't see last year. You're going to see some of those freshmen, those, you know, highly quote, you know, for what it's worth, you know, recruited freshmen, that's going to be, or redshirt freshmen that's going to be out there. One case in point is on Marlon Humphrey from Hoover, Bobby Humphrey's son. Had a great scrimmage the other day, and we can talk about more about that later. He's won it's either Kilpatrick or Kirkpatrick, and I can't remember the freshman from Texas. He was playing high school football last year. He will be a starter because he beat out one of the returning cornerbacks or secondary people last year. So I just believe they're going to be that strong defensively. I may be wrong.
I hope you are.
I may be. You know, but that's I just think they're capable.
And I may be wrong. Auburn may not score 10, but
yeah.
I just believe they will.
Yeah,
so we'll see.
That's what we'll see, won't we?
Hey, tell us what Coleman got into.
Well, Coleman,
I heard Ronnie agreeing with Jason there. I was going, huh?
I did just for a second though. Yeah, Coleman. You know, they destroyed Arab. We both had them winning. I didn't have them winning. You know, to the degree that they won. I don't per se have the stats in front of me, Jason. I've got, you know, certainly the final score was 56-7. That's pretty much,
yeah, that's,
you know, putting it on somebody. So coming off to a really good start there with a win over Arab, but certainly that's not a region game. So you know, nobody starts off with a region, that I don't think. But anyway, it was still a good win for them, a good confidence builder, I would think. 56-7, you got to feel pretty good about yourself. You know, even if you made some mistakes, you know, hanging 57 on somebody is pretty impressive. Next week, or not next week, but this week, they play, they have Etowah. And so, you know, we'll see, you know, how that goes. Coleman beat Etowah last year 35-8. So, you know, if that trend continues, you know, they may get another W. Overall, all time against Etowah, they're 12-5-1. So they win about 71% of the time against Etowah. So I would say the times that Etowah was beating Coleman was when Carnell Williams was the running back at Etowah. And I can very well understand why Etowah would have beaten Coleman.
The Cadillac.
And the Cadillac could tote the mail, buddy.
Yeah.
I mean, he was a great high school back. And a great back at Auburn, and then, you know, played in the NFL.
Not so much in the NFL.
No
injury bug seemed to say.
Well, it happens to a lot of them, you know. And then some of them just don't pan out, you know. It just seemed to struggle. Case in point, you think of somebody that played at Alabama that everybody thought was just going, you know, was just going to take the NFL by storm, and it hasn't happened for him. It's Trent Richardson. I mean, an absolute specimen, from a physical specimen, but, you know, for whatever reason, you know, he averages about 3 yards a carry, and I don't know the reason for it, you know, but he's just struggled. So he's now with the Oakland Raiders, so maybe he can, be a little bit more impressive.
I've always heard, and tell me if you agree with this or not, but I've always heard there is a bigger difference going from college to professional than there is going from high school to college.
Yeah, I have too. And you can see that. Yeah, you know, I mean, that to me, that'd be pretty obvious, because once you do get the NFL, you're getting the best of the best, and you're, you know, when you leave high school, you're 18-ish, and then you may be playing against a 21-year-old, you know, about 3 years difference. Now, NFL, you may go in the NFL at 21, 22, and you're playing against guys, you know, 26, 27, 28, 29, I mean, really real men. Yeah. You know, there's just a big difference. I'm sure there's a huge learning curve there for a lot of those guys coming out of college. So the NFL is just a whole different game, a whole different animal, boy, with those guys. You know, their size, their speed, their strength. It's just a different world.
Oh, yeah.
But it's fun to watch.
Yeah. They make millions, and most of them end up hobbled up, banged up for the rest of their life.
Oh, absolutely.
Hey, they're paid well.
Or bankrupt.
It. Yeah.
You know, they're belly up with no money after about 7 or 8 years. So.
Don't understand that one.
I don't either. Yeah, they pick up a lot of friends.
Oh, yeah.
A lot of friends.
Yeah, so. I think one time I saw a article on Mike Tyson and his bankruptcy, and I think his cell phone bill averaged like $13,000 a month. Yeah, he was paying so many different people's cell phones. $13,000 a month for cell phones.
Oh, my goodness. Well, but hey, we got both those games right.
I've heard Sports Talk Live was looking for sponsors. Maybe he'd be interested.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, I don't know.
Yeah, talk to him and see, Jay.
We'll leave see if you can get his phone number. It seems to be a lot of it out.
Hey, man, Google's my friend.
Out there. That's right.
I wonder if he's on Ashley. No, I'm not.
No.
Ashley Madison.
I'll pass him. Yeah.
Boy, that has been a mess.
Yeah.
And let me just say this. If you're looking for trouble and you are one that wants to go on Facebook or wherever and post the list of names.
Oh, there is trouble to be found.
Yeah. But think about, would you do this if it was your husband or your wife or
your son
whoever,
or your daughter? Back off and leave people alone.
That's right. Duggar family.
Yeah.
Once again, in it.
Yeah. Sad. But, you know,
this will affect a lot of people before it's over with.
Yeah. Be careful, you know, but, I mean, you got to be careful how you you point fingers at somebody else or what you do towards somebody else, because, you know, nobody's home, nobody's household's perfect.
That's right. That's right. And, you know, what if somebody used somebody's name? Somebody used your name, Ronnie?
Absolutely.
You had nothing to do with it.
That's right.
But your name is on that list.
That's right.
And you unknowingly are just doing the sports show today, and all of a sudden Karen calls you and says, hey, somebody posted this here, and your name's on this.
Exactly. And I don't even know how to...
There's no way you'll ever convince anybody that it wasn't you.
No, absolutely not. And that's why I'm saying, you know, for people who just throw people's names out there, you know, there's no saying what goes around comes around.
Oh, yeah, and it'll come around.
It sure will.
It's a sad day that we live in. When
I have heard of actual reports where people have taken those leaked information and added names to it and put it back out there.
Yeah, right.
No, that wouldn't shock me at all.
Absolutely not.
And that's another thing. Take that list with a grain of salt.
Exactly.
Because you see a name on there that you know don't mean jack.
It doesn't. Just like, you know, if you read something on the internet, doesn't mean it's true. It just means it's there to read, you know. So
because if I'm going to get on Ashley Madison, I sure as heck are not. I'm not going to sign up under Jason.
No,
Stone. I'm going to be Ray Barnes. Jay
absolutely, I'm going to make up some kind of name. Exactly right. So,
but you'll get the blame for
you
it.
You better believe it.
When I'm caught up.
And you're guilty from then on, whether you are or not.
That's right.
You know, you're still guilty. So, hey, you know, bottom line, the way I see it, leave other people alone.
That's right.
Take care of your own business.
Live your own life. Sweep your own floor.
You got that. Absolutely. Sweep your own floor. That's it. So, hey, but we got those two games right. We got the Coleman game, and we got the Cold Springs game, and then we both missed Addison, and they got drilled by Pickens County.
I thought you picked Pickens County. I think you did. I think you got it right.
Well, I've got it right over here.
Yeah.
I think I may be 3-0 then. You went 2-1.
I picked Addison, and I think you said just to be different.
That's right. I did. I did take Pickens County, and boy, they put a shellacking on Addison. So
I wonder if that's a case of Pickens County being strong, or Addison maybe not as good as they've been in the past.
I don't know. I know. I think not necessarily last year, but I think Pickens County has gone very deep into the playoffs, may even won a state championship a few years ago. I'm not sure. about that, but I could do a little research and find out. But however, Jason went 2-1, very respectable, and I think I ended up, as Jason hit me out there, going 3-0. So
can't beat 3-0.
That's right, can't beat 3-0, and then most everybody else is going to kick it off this weekend, Jason, and on Thursday, I'm sure we'll do our picks for the rest of the week, and then maybe our player of the week and all that kind of stuff the following next week.
It's so. Time. Speaking of time, it's break time. The number 256-737-9505. We'll be right back. You're listening to Sports Talk Live 95.5, Coleman.
Attention Coleman business owners. You are the people we want to hear from. All of us here at Live 95 want to take a moment to remind you of what life was like before Live 95. Yeah, so we don't want to go back to that. This is just a friendly reminder that Live 95 can help you. If you're a new business just getting started, or a well-established large business, Live 95 can actually help you get tax breaks on your tax bill.
Woo-hoo!
Hey, we're not kidding. Seriously. Send us an email at studio@live95coleman.com today, or visit our website, live95coleman.com, and click on support to find out more right now. Do it. Thanks for listening to Live 95. We're Coleman's independent radio.
Hey there, Bob Baumhauer here. Last year, the Alabama State Park celebrated our 75th anniversary, but the fun really never ends. I'm happy because this year, special events and new promotions will help us reach out to those who have yet to visit a state park. In addition to providing family fun, our parks are located in some of the most beautiful parts of Alabama. So plan your next visit today, but this year, reach out and bring a friend. For more information, call 1-800-ALAPARK or go to alapark.com.
Brought to you by Alabama State Parks, the ABA, and this station.
Are you ready to take your music to the next level? Need to know how to kickstart your music career? How to get your music published and licensed? And the million-dollar question, how to get your music played on the radio? Baker Productions has the answer to these and many more questions you may have about the music industry. From demos to full production, they have the tools to get your music to the masses. From audio and video studios to copyrights, publishing, and mastering, MP3s to downloads from your website, YouTube, or Facebook page, they have the tools and experience to help get your music on track. See where your music career can lead at Baker Productions, 256-739-0388.
Hello, I'm Gary Taylor, conductor of the Coleman Community Band, and I'd like to extend an invitation to you to join the band. We just completed our 10th season, having started back in 2005, and currently have around 50 members. Our members range in age from 18 to 85 and come from all walks of life. The band performs at several events around Coleman, such as Oktoberfest and the Strawberry Festival, as well as concerts at Christmas and during the spring. In fact, the Christmas concert is part of the Coleman Community Concert Association series. We rehearse on Monday nights at the Coleman Middle School Band Room from 6:30 until 8:30. The band season begins after Labor Day and goes through the end of May. We take summers off. If you have experience playing a band instrument, no matter how many years it's been since you've played, we'd love to have you join us. You can contact me at 256-636-2754 or any band member. The first rehearsal of the new season is Monday night, September 14. Hope to see you then.
All right, 423. Welcome back to Sports Talk Live. The number again, 737-9505. If you've got a topic you want to discuss, give us a call. We'll be free to talk about anything you want to talk about.
That's it.
Ronnie, we're having computer difficulties, so we're back up moving now.
We're back up and moving now. Hey, Jason, before we get on to the sports, talk about Alabama and Auburn and, you know, whoever else, you know, somebody might want to talk about as far as football or some of our local sports, there was an excuse me. You guys may have seen the newspaper this morning that don't remember the person's name, but there was two police officers in Arab that were shot just a couple days ago. They were chasing, I think, someone who was in possibly in a stolen vehicle. They may have kind of gotten bushwhacked there. I don't know all the details, but two officers were shot. One was basically saved because of his vest, and the other one received a gunshot wound to his upper left leg. Is what the paper had. So, you know, Jason, all those police officers, men and women that work in law enforcement out there, you know, they're under such scrutiny now. Sometimes they are so unappreciated from Washington. I just might as well say it, from Washington D.C. on down, that everything that seems to take place, the police person always seems now to get the blame for it, regardless of what the victim, may be doing. But from my point, and I know yours too, I greatly appreciate what our law enforcement does here for us to help protect us here in the city, our county, our state troopers, you know, our game wardens, all of those guys and gals. We greatly appreciate what you do every single day, because I know you want to go home. I know they want to go home to their families too.
That's right.
And somebody doesn't get to go home, you know, way too often to their own families. So just a big thank you to all of our law enforcement folks.
Yeah, they don't ever know. Every vehicle they pull over could be their last.
Absolutely. Ones. Case in point, just like the guy in the state trooper in Louisiana there. You know, the guy was pulled over and goes up to try to help him, or, you know, call a tow truck to get him out, and the guy pulls a shotgun out and shoots him in the head. You know, and then I think he dies the next day or whatever, you know. Mm. So it's just it's a very, very difficult job, much more so than any of us can imagine, because so many times their hands are tied and what they can't do and what they can't do. You know, they get scrutinized for everything that goes on. So I just really appreciate what all of our law enforcement people do.
Really, something I want to touch on, article in the Coleman Times, fines from the state. It appears that the Coleman Times has 10 different schools in the coverage area that are paying fines.
Some fines, okay.
$2,475.
Total
for the 2014-2015 school year.
Okay.
Most common penalty committed by local schools were ejections, 10. Failure to attend rules clinics, 7. Others included interrupting championship play, a pitching violation, a transfer rule violation, and a school audit. So, let's see. St. Bernard actually fined the most at $550. Almost half of that came from a $250 penalty for an interruption in championship play at an unspecified spring sport. The rest stem from 3 ejections, $100 each, 2 from the same baseball game, and 1 in a basketball game.
Okay.
Fairview had $400 total, $300 and a $100 fine for a basketball coach not attending a rules clinic and an ejection in football.
Yeah, those rules clinics, they're held during the summer months is when they're held. Most of the time you go Huntsville, Birmingham, somewhere like that. They used to, honestly, Jason, those things did not used to be mandatory. They were just to be voluntary. If you wanted to go, I'll put my hand up and say I never went to one of them. And then it got to the point where people weren't going at all. And then they started sticking them with a fine, basically making them, you know, trying to make them, you know, come to those rules clinics. And if you don't, they find your school. So, that's the reason behind that, but that's one of those things that can easily slip by in the summer months. You may just completely forget about it, you never know what may come up in your life that would prevent you from going. So that kind of stuff does happen, because I honestly never went to the first one.
Well, they could have fined you like every year.
There was no fine for it, so I'm not going.
Something a little different. I'd like to check into this a little more. Addison High. See if you notice what is out of place when I say this. Addison High, Cold Springs Elementary, and Good Hope High all paid $200 in fines.
Elementary?
Cold Springs Elementary.
That was last year. Okay. I can tell you probably what that was.
Now that, tell us.
Cold Springs Elementary is now it's K through 8, I think. And then 9, 10, 11, 12 is across the road with the high school. So it would have probably been a middle school, you know, football or a basketball game. That would be my.
I was wondering the Pee Wee not associated with that. So I was wondering
exactly.
How that
That's what it is. It's really a middle school, but they're not called Cold Springs Middle School.
What's a high penalty, Ronnie? I know you've dealt with these penalties and all through the years being coach and principal. Most of these are $250, $300, $100. What's the highest penalty that you know
of? Seemed like I remember one at one time that was it was like a $1,500, $2,000, something like that. But that was I won't call school names or anything. That's kind of a repeat offense that you've already been fined for this once, and then you get fined again, and the fines go up. Or if you have a situation where coaches get ejected, and there may have been some physical, they may have gotten into it with somebody. Those are pretty stout penalties as well.
You don't see coaches ejected as much as you used to.
No, you don't.
Used to it's pretty common.
Yeah, you really don't see it much at all anymore. It's pretty rare. Now, what we have seen, more recently than in years past, was players being ejected.
Right.
There's been more of that.
In the world according to Jason, probably more should be ejected.
Yeah,
because when you watch some of these players, they already have the NBA attitude on their shoulders in high school.
Yeah, absolutely. So, but that seems to be taking place more than the coaches being ejected. And I'm not saying here in with our Cullman schools. I'm just saying statewide.
Right.
And we do. I mean, we have some. You went over a few earlier that player ejections and things happen sometimes. With all the sports and all the kids that are playing and the number of games that's played, each day in the fall, and then in the spring, it's very minimal the number who are ejected. Most of the kids and coaches, they do a great job of, relaying to the kids what our expectations are, what we will accept and what we won't accept. And kids pretty much fall in line with that. That's the way it is in anything, in your business. You tell your guys what the expectations are, what the rules are, and for the most part, your guys will seem to follow that.
Right.
And if they don't, you do just like we do, in coaching, is you either adapt or you find something else to do with your time.
All right. Moving on to college football, the AP poll out.
Yeah.
Alabama coming in at number 3, the Auburn Tigers coming in at number 6, and the nobody is surprised, Ohio State, a unanimous number 1.
And I believe, is that not the
first time in
that has ever happened?
They received every first place
61 votes.
Right.
Ohio State received in the number 1 spot. So that is, I thought I'd heard that's the first time that has ever taken place. Where one team gets every vote.
And nothing's going to be funnier than when Ohio State lays an egg.
I know.
First
we
game
said lay
Virginia Tech.
That'd be great, wouldn't it? That would be wonderful. Hey, but really, in all honesty, do you agree with that
it
stands right now?
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't think there's anything shocking about that. I think that's certainly deserved from what they did last year, what they did in the playoffs and down the stretch and losing quarterbacks, and they just replacing them with another one that seemed to get better and better and better. So, I'm not a fan of Ohio State. I'm certainly not a fan of Urban Meyer, but you got to give people their due, and they deserve that number 1 ranking as well as all 61 votes.
Winning that championship last year done wonders for the name Urban Meyer. He now, in some circles, regarded even higher than Saban.
Yeah.
So,
I don't agree with that, but,
Of course you would.
Of course I wouldn't agree with that, but What'd you think about the top 10? You think that's pretty legit? Florida State 10, Georgia 9, USC at 8, and we'll talk a little bit about USC later. Oregon 7, I think that may be a little high. Auburn 6, you agree with that?
Yeah, that's.
You think that's fair? Michigan State at 5, Baylor at 4, Alabama 3, and TCU at 2. I don't really have a problem with any of that.
If you're in the top 10, it doesn't matter anyway. Right. If you're in the top 10, 15, it's up to you anyway.
Yeah. So. But I did hear this, and this is about Alabama, and it just goes along with, I know you don't like to hear it, but the dominance, if there's a better word out there, somebody tell me what it is, that Alabama has basically had over college football since about 09. And here's what I'm basing it on. That's the lowest ranking they've had in the first poll since 2009. They were either one or two since 2009. This year they're three.
Three, and I think three is actually being generous to them.
Of course you would. Of course you would. But you still got to give – it wouldn't matter whether it's Auburn. I mean, it makes no difference. If you're ranked third this year, and that's the lowest one you've had since 2009, you've pretty much had a mark, a dominance in college football.
Right. Right. Oh, the Deflategate still going on in the NFL. Another legal showdown coming in the college ranks.
That's not a mess.
Pay for play. Still trying to get pay. What's your thoughts on that, Ray? College players receiving. Money.
I'm still just opposed to it. I guess I'm old fashioned. I'm opposed to it. You know, how is every school going to pay the same amount? Is it going to be mandated from the NCAA? I mean, I don't know. I'm asking you the question.
It would have to be the same amount.
You would think.
But you know that's not going to stop there.
No, it's not. And how
money is giving his players $100 each a month or a week. I'm going to give mine $150.
Right. And the thing about it is, every university doesn't have the money of an Alabama or an Auburn.
Right.
You know, how does that play out with a Jacksonville State? How does that play out with a Samford? How does that play out with West Alabama, Troy? I mean,
and it's not going to look near as sexy when you start paying the basketball players and the
the rifle team, the bowling team, the swimming team.
Because of what you do for one, you're going to
have to do softball, the baseball, lacrosse, whatever you play. I mean, you're going to have to pay those kids. So I'm just not sold on it. Somebody might could convince me that knows more about it that it's a good thing. I don't see it as being a good thing. I know what it costs for tuition, just like you know what it costs for tuition. And if a kid's getting a 4 or 5 year college education paid for, that's a pretty good salary there.
Right.
I assume there's a meal ticket included in that as well.
And as we've talked about, if it's an Auburn, Alabama football player, not only do they get the education, but they've got that tag with them the rest of their life. And that's a little advantage when you go in putting in the job application because not many of them are going to make it into pro, right?
No, they're not.
So when you go in and say, hey, I was the starting tailback at Alabama 2 years.
Right.
A lot of people are going to look your way.
A lot of people are going to pay it. They're going to pay attention to that. That's exactly right. So, I'm not a big supporter of it. Nobody's been able to convince me or shown me why we should do it. I understand. I understand the fact that there's a lot of those kids there, that just don't have money. I got that. And it's not that I'm trying to be cruel and hard-hearted. I just think this is opening Pandora's box to a lot of other problems.
This article says this judge that is looking at this case, whether it is okay to pay players, this will be a multi-billion-dollar decision that comes down.
Wow, lots.
You think about spreading that out all over the country to ever how many universities there is, every sport.
Yeah.
I don't see it.
Yeah. I just don't see anything good coming from that.
All right, the music means it's time for a break, time to pay a few bills around here, so we'll be right back. Sports Talk Live, 95.5, Tuesday edition.
you haven't visited Scissor Salon, what are you waiting for? Walk-ins are always welcome at Scissors. Scissors has a fresh new look and comforts with you in mind. At Scissors, it's all about you. Friendly professional service and attention to detail. That's Scissors. Scissor Salon, Highway 278 East, 1/2 mile past the water plant. Just look for the big scissors on the roof. Scissors, 735-3089. 735-3089. That's Scissors.
Hey there, Bob Baumhauer here. Last year, the Alabama State Park celebrated our 75th anniversary, but the fun really never ends. I'm happy because this year, special events and new promotions will help us reach out to those who have yet to visit a state park. In addition to providing family fun, our parks are located in some of the most beautiful parts of Alabama. So plan your next visit today. But this year, reach out and bring a friend. For more information, call 1-800-ALAPARK or go to alapark.com.
Brought to you by Alabama State Parks, the ABA, and this station.
Are you ready to take your music to the next level? Need to know how to kickstart your music career? How to get your music published and licensed? And the million-dollar question, how to get your music played on the radio? Baker Productions has the answer to these and many more questions you may have about the music industry. From demos to full production, they have the tools to get your music to the masses. From audio and video studios to copyrights, publishing, and mastering, MP3s to downloads from your website, YouTube, or Facebook page, they have the tools and experience to help get your music on track. See where your music career can lead at Baker Productions, 256-739-0388.
Attention Coleman business owners. You are the people we want to hear from. All of us here at Live 95 want to take a moment to remind you of what life was like before Live 95. Yeah, so we don't want to go back to that. This is just a friendly reminder that Live 95 can help you. If you're a new business just getting started, or a well-established large business, Live 95 can actually help you get tax breaks on your tax bill. Woo-hoo! Hey, we're not kidding, seriously. Send us an email at studio@live95coleman.com today, or visit our website, live95coleman.com, and click on support to find out more right now. Do it. Thanks for listening to Live 95. We're Coleman's independent radio.
All right, welcome back. Sports Talk Live, Tuesday afternoon, 4:41. The number, 737-9505, if you feel like calling. If you don't feel like calling, give us a call anyway.
That's right.
Talk about something. Cindy took Moolah home. She came by the office, and actually I overpaid her, Ronnie, but being honest engine, she brought $25 back to me. So
she brought $25 back?
Yeah, I'm not used to seeing money coming out of her.
What'd she do that for?
I overpaid her.
Oh, I didn't hear that part.
Yeah.
You paid her $125?
Yep. So I
pulled I figured she was just applying for part of, you know, Ronnie's steak dinner or something.
Yeah. Well,
I pulled up to the Wendy's drive.
Let me go answer this phone call here.
Money being missing, and I thought, well, I spent it and forgot, you know.
Yeah.
And Cindy called a little later on and had $25 coming back.
Maybe I need to start borrowing some money from you. If I'm pocket 20, I borrow 100 and I have an extra 25.
Easily done.
Hey, well, man, it carries around a wallet full of money as you do.
Oh yeah,
it's easy to misplace $25.
Yeah, you said that right.
Yeah, I can understand that.
All right, on the line we've got Jeffrey, the old FSU man, and Ronnie is headed that way now. Jeffrey, phone lines will be up and working Thursday. They're working now, but just not like they did. So, all right, we got Jeffrey.
Hey, Jeffrey.
Hey.
Hey, man, how's it going?
Going good.
Good.
Just left work. I'm gonna tell you, I don't get to hear y'all if I get up on the big hill. My big hill, I mean Lake Hart.
I hear you.
Hey, depending on which tree I'm by.
Yeah.
The only thing that bleeds in on the radio is that toothpick with big ears from Birmingham and somebody going, "Jesus, that's the only two things I hear."
I hear you. Hey, it's about time for some college football, isn't it, Jeffrey?
Yes, it is. What are we, a week and 4 days?
Yeah, absolutely. Week? Absolutely. So,
as far as I'm concerned, the year starts then.
Yes. That's it.
I don't care if we are 8 months, 9 months into it.
That's for sure. So what you got? What's been going on?
Oh, nothing. I just working. I just wanted to call and see what y'all doing.
Yeah, hey. Same-o, talking a little Alabama, Auburn football, you know, and of course...
Oh, well, we all got things we ain't proud of.
Yeah, that's true, but we ain't got to Florida State yet, but I'm sure we will, so... Hey, speaking of Florida State, did you watch any of the preseason game last night with the Buccaneers and the Bengals?
Did you? Yes, I did.
What did you think about Jameis?
I still don't think they have an offensive line.
I agree.
But other than that, he did pretty good. He's going to do decent.
Yeah.
Considering what kind of offensive line they've got.
Right.
I mean, you know, the guy stands up out of a three-point stance and watches the guy run by. That's not much of a block.
No, you know? That's not very impressive for the NFL, where they're supposed to be the best. But
I noticed that AJ got to play a little bit last night, too.
He did. I thought he did okay. You know, I don't think he did great, but I don't think he, you know, hurt himself as far as, you know, making the club or anything like that.
Well, yeah, you're right. He did. I didn't watch a lot of them. I watched the first series. Eddie had posted something on Facebook about him getting ready to play.
Right.
I told him, I said, well, it's typical AJ, hands off to the left, hands off to the right. I mean,
exactly. little short swing passes and those kind of things.
Then he scrambled for about 7 or 8 yards, and I said, well, there's something you never had to do in Alabama.
That's right.
He had a wall in front of him in Alabama.
Yeah, absolutely. But, you know, again, I think he did okay. You know, he hasn't played in a long time. You know, he was injured all last year. So, you know, he's got to be, you know, rusty and nervous and all those kind of things. But
he looked good. I thought he looked good. I thought overall, it was a pretty game last night, what I saw.
I agree. And, you know, honestly, Jason and I have talked about this before, I think Jameis looks like he's better physically fit than he was at Florida State.
Yeah, he does.
He looks much more lean. He looks quicker. I thought he threw the ball reasonably well. I did see a couple times where he got pressured and, you know, he just kind of ducked his head and slung it out through there and, you know, they flagged him for grounding and,
yeah. Well, he's had that one intentional grounding and then the first game he threw a pick. He's got a good arm. He's got such a good arm that he tries to throw it when he really shouldn't be throwing it into holes that he should.
That's true.
I thought he had one seam pass that should have been caught. I can't remember who it was. He was across the middle. It was like the second stanza, I believe. Second offensive stanza he had.
Yeah.
But other than that, I mean, he played pretty good. I think overall, a decent game between two teams that probably ain't going to do nothing this year.
Right. But, you know, I think the Buccaneers will be better. Of course, they'll have to be better. You know, they were pretty atrocious last year.
They've only really got one way to go.
Yeah, I think they were 0-8 at home. I mean, they didn't win a home game last year. But I'll tell you, somebody else that impressed me with the Buccaneers was the Glenn kid that came in and played quarterback.
Yeah, he is.
He did. He played really, really well.
He was really impressive.
I agree, which is a stage for him, you know, for next year that somebody... some other team will pick him up and make him their starting quarterback because he's never going to be that at Tampa Bay anymore.
Exactly.
But
and the guy that AJ behind.
Yeah.
I don't know if he just had a bad night.
Oh, he was terrible. Dalton.
He had a pretty good record, I know. Yeah, Dalton.
Yeah.
He's what, 40-22.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, it's not great.
No.
But last night he couldn't throw.
Oh, it was terrible.
It looked
like a mediocre high school kid last night.
He did. And of course, AJ comes in there and looks like a million-dollar quarterback.
Exactly.
$1 million quarterback after that.
Yeah, I'd love for him to get an opportunity to play some, but he's in a spot there where he may get to because, you know, Andy Dalton is, you know, he's okay. You know, he's certainly not one of your elite quarterbacks. You know, he's probably certainly in the bottom half or, you know, bottom third of NFL quarterbacks. I mean, he's gotten them to the playoffs, but that's all. You know, they never hadn't won any games.
He is a perfect quarterback for that kind of team.
Right.
A team that you don't expect to do a lot.
Exactly.
I mean, and you know, that's not a shot at anybody. That's just, you know, the Bengals have never been a dominant team.
No.
Not since I've been alive, anyway.
Right.
I can remember.
Yeah, if they can win, you know, if they go 8-8, they, you know, or, you know, something like 9-7, they've had a good year.
they'll put a statue of him up there if he goes 9-9.
That's true. That is true. But again, I think Jameis looked pretty good, and I may have to, you know, I may eat some of my words. About Jameis, he just looks much better than he did at Florida State in terms of his physical abilities.
Right. So he's took this serious, apparently.
Well, he needed to, or, you know, in that world, exactly. If you don't take it serious, you'll be gone pretty quick.
Exactly. Imagine what he would have done if it took it cut serious in college.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, you're right. So
I think he did pretty good, though.
Yeah.
I think he'll be all right. He'll be as good as he'd be expected behind that line.
Right. Well, that's where it all starts. It doesn't matter whether you're playing peewee football, you know, high school, college, pro. It all starts up front. And if you're good up front, you got a chance to have a good football team. If you're not good up front, makes no difference how good your skilled people are. All you're going to do is get them killed.
Exactly. When I was helping coach my boy in peewees, I told the linemen, because I was kind of helping with the linemen, teaching them blocking schemes and stuff. And I said, I don't care. I said, I know the quarterback get the girls. Running backs get all the catchers taken.
Right.
Wide receivers sign all out. I said, but y'all right here, y'all the most important people on the team. You got your hand in the dirt on every play.
Right.
You're hitting somebody on every play. Every play depends on you. And I said, as long as you're doing your job, you'll never hear anything. You can't say anything to you after you mess up one time. And I said, the world's going to come down on you.
Well, again, it all starts there.
Exactly.
It starts out up front. So, well, good deal. Exactly. All right.
Okay, I'll let y'all get to work. I know y'all got a busy schedule going.
I hear you, man. Thanks for giving us a call, Jeffrey.
Oh, we'll see you.
All right. Talk to you later, bud.
Bye-bye.
All righty.
All right. Thanks, Jeffrey, for giving us a call. 4:50, time for a break. We'll be right back to talk a little more college football. Sports Talk Live, 95.5. Coleman.
Hello, I'm Gary Taylor, conductor of the Coleman Community Band, and I'd like to extend an invitation to you to join the band. We just completed our 10th season, having started back in 2005, and currently have around 50 members. Our members range in age from 18 to 85 and come from all walks of life. The band performs at several events around Coleman, such as Oktoberfest and the Strawberry Festival, as well as concerts at Christmas and during the spring. In fact, the Christmas concert is part of the Coleman Community Concert Association series. We rehearse on Monday nights at the Coleman Middle School Band Room from 6:30 until 8:30. The band season begins after Labor Day and goes through the end of May. We take summers off. If you have experience playing a band instrument, no matter how many years it's been since you've played, we'd love to have you join us. You can contact me at 256-636-2754 or any band member. The first rehearsal of the new season is Monday night, September 14. Hope to see you then.
If you haven't visited Scissor Salon, what are you waiting for? Walk-ins are always welcome at Scissors. Scissors has a fresh new look and comforts with you in mind. At Scissors, it's all about you. Friendly professional service and attention to detail. That's Scissors. Scissor Salon, Highway 278 East, 1/2 mile past the water plant. Just look for the big scissors on the roof. Scissors, 735-3089. 735-3089. That's Scissors.
Attention Coleman business owners. You are the people we want to hear from. All of us here at Live 95 want to take a moment to remind you of what life was like before Live 95. Yeah, so we don't want to go back to that. This is just a friendly reminder that Live 95 can help you. If you're a new business just getting started, or a well-established large business, Live 95 can actually help you get tax breaks on your tax bill.
Woo-hoo!
Hey, we're not kidding. Seriously. Send us an email at studio@live95coleman.com today. Or visit our website, live95coleman.com, and click on support to find out more right now. Do it. Thanks for listening to Live 95. We're Coleman's independent radio.
Hey there, Bob Baumhauer here. Last year...
Bob Baumhauer got cut off.
Yeah.
Wings there.
I just cut him off, you know.
That's good for him.
He's insignificant.
That's right.
Who does he think he is?
Yeah, and Ronnie, we got into this talk during the break there, and so I want to bring it out, let everybody hear it. And Ronnie, I think the heat got to him, or maybe it's the cool weather come in. Say again what you said.
I said
this may be one of the most unbelievable things I've heard you say, other than Alabama holding Auburn to 20.
Well, all I'm saying is beginning of this year, you don't. I don't think Alabama. I know they're coming in ranked number 3. I got that. Okay.
I'm sorry. Do we need to air that promo again?
No. You can if you like, because I'm going to win it. I think Alabama has got less love from the media people, for whatever that's worth, this year is the least amount I've heard in years. That's what I think.
I think now, I'm not saying jealousy because Auburn and Georgia's getting
it. Oh, they are getting it now. No, I'm not jealous.
Alabama always gets the love.
They haven't got it.
Alabama could be 0-12 in the season. They would be ranked in the top 5.
Well, first of all, they're never going to be 0-12.
They were close some of their Mike days.
Ah, you can't go by the past. So was Auburn.
Mike Shula.
Who's had closer to 0-12 more times, Alabama or Auburn? Now, you got to be honest.
I bet both of them's got close.
Oh, my goodness.
Alabama,
please.
Always.
Doug Barfail.
Oh, let's not bring up Doug Barfail. I can come back with that with a Mike Shula or a Mike DeBose.
Yeah, that was pretty. That was some pretty lean.
Price.
he didn't even get to coach
it's
a game.
It's rolling, baby. It's rolling.
Mike's were working well, wasn't it?
That is one name that is on Ashley Madison. I
mean, oh, I think he was on a wall somewhere down at Pensacola, too. Some strip club in Pensacola.
Ronnie, you're talking about all the love Georgia's getting. And
they are.
Saturday.
We can agree on that.
Right. And they do tend to get love each year, and for each year they seem to blow it.
You're right. They never. Georgia in the SEC is Clemson of the ACC.
I can agree with that.
Both very talented, but they will lay at least one egg that they should never lay, and they'll do it every single year.
How about this? Saturday Down South has projected the first college football playoff ranking. This will happen November 3rd, 2015, and here's the way they see it. Coming in at number 4, filling the last playoff spot, TCU. And they have them projected to be 8-0 at that point.
And I wouldn't disagree with that. TCU's loaded.
Now, here's one that's going to surprise you. Oregon at number 3.
Now that really
8-0
yeah,
at that point.
I don't see that at all. That's somebody that you – at least I haven't heard a whole lot of anything about this year's Oregon. I certainly can't see them in the playoff.
Coming in at number 2, Ohio State at 8-0.
Number 2, Ohio State?
And if they're right, you can see this happening because they have Georgia at number 1, 8-0. And to get there to 8-0, they will have to beat Alabama, Tennessee, and Missouri in consecutive weeks.
Well, they'll beat Tennessee and they'll beat Missouri. But they,
I think they beat Alabama this year.
Did I pick them to beat Alabama?
No, you didn't.
I picked somebody to beat Alabama.
Yeah, and it wouldn't.
I'll have to look back. Maybe it was Georgia.
I don't think it was Georgia.
Okay, I'll find out.
Because I think I picked Georgia to beat Auburn and Alabama. Wait a minute. Yes, it was. You picked it right opposite I picked.
Yeah,
picked
I thought that's right.
Georgia to beat Alabama in a regular season.
Yeah.
Then Alabama to beat Georgia in the SEC.
I picked that.
I picked Auburn to beat Georgia in the SEC championship.
Yes,
but Georgia to win in regular season.
That's right. So. I hope it doesn't happen. I hope I miss that one. You know, Georgia beating Bama. We'll see.
I hope you're right.
I'll say this: they may beat Alabama. They will not win. I don't see Georgia winning the SEC.
But Ronnie, you know the old saying: a blind squirrel.
That's right.
Finds an acorn every
That's
now
right.
And then.
They sure do. But, Ohio State, Georgia, TCU, and Oregon.
Right.
What'd they base that on? They just draw them out of a hat?
Somebody like me and you just sitting around talking.
Something to do.
For those of you wondering where Alabama and Auburn came in, Florida State was at number 5, 8-0. Alabama, 7-1 at number 6. Auburn, 7-1 at number 7. Clemson 8-0 at number 8, Baylor 7-0 at number 9, and USC rounding out the 10 at 7-1.
Yeah. Hey, speaking of, we got a couple minutes, and then we'll go to a break. And we may need to come back with this. again, was what about Sarkisian at USC?
Yeah.
And his...
Is there an audio of that anywhere?
I don't know.
We'll search for that.
I don't know. It would have to be, you know, it would be bleeped out, I'm sure. And I know Chris, who will be with Chris Andrews, who will be with us on Thursday, is not a Sarkisian fan right. at all. And this just, you know, adds fuel to the fire. You are at, you know, correct me if I'm wrong, Jason, but he is at a fundraiser, a athletic or a football fundraiser with boosters, with his players, coaches, administration, all those people, and he has been in the sauce and supposedly mixing, he'd taken some meds or two. So he was mixing meds and alcohol, gets up and starts making some statements, inappropriate statements, yeah. and dropping the, you know, F-bomb and that kind of stuff in front of his players and big donors. Now, that's just about as stupid as you can get.
Escorted off by the athletic
director, yes, Mr. Pat Hayden.
And if you're escorted off from speaking at yeah. something like that, it's got to be pretty bad.
Yeah. So I would say his rope is very short. Right. You know, anything else like that, and USC will probably be looking for them another head coach next year. Yeah, just ridiculous.
I can't wait to see what Chris has to say
yeah,
about that.
Yeah, and I read an article there that said he this rest of this football season, he was giving up alcohol, no drinking in the rest of this season, and was going to a treatment facility to see if he had a problem with alcohol. Now, I can see going to a treatment facility if you have a problem with alcohol, but I've never heard of going to a treatment facility to see if you have problems with alcohol.
I guess he'll see how bad it hurts when he's there.
Maybe so. But he said he wasn't going to be any more drinking during this football season, and there would be no alcohol allowed in the coaches' offices at the football complex. Hmm. Why would you? Maybe that's common, you know.
Yeah, I don't know.
But in my mind, I'm thinking, why would you have alcohol in your office anyway? But maybe they all do. I don't know.
I don't know either.
But that just kind of struck me strange, you know. Coaches will no longer be able to drink alcohol after a ball game. So I don't know.
We'll see how that plays out. Yeah. That could be interesting to watch as the season goes.
Yeah, see how.
All right. 737-9505. Coming up on another break. A little news headed your way, and we'll be back to talk more college football, the old Pigskin. You're listening to Sports Talk Live 95.5, Tuesday edition.
Broadcasting from the People's Bank of Alabama studio, from a transmitter as powerful as a hairdryer. Hey, we got it on high. This is Live 95, Coleman's independent radio. WRJMLP, Coleman.
In the ARN News Center, I'm Angie Norvell. A domestic dispute spills onto the interstate. It started in Blount County and rolled to Jefferson County for some 60 miles. The sheriff's office says two people involved had an argument that spilled onto I-65 southbound, each bumping the other's car as they sped down the interstate. One shot was fired. No one was hurt. It all ended with one vehicle stopping at an exit due to mechanical trouble. The other driver pulled over nearby, both now in custody. Ardmore High School placed on lockdown briefly this morning following a threat on social media, officers taking one teen into custody. Voters at the polls in Talladega today deciding if Mayor Larry Barton will get another term in office. He was attacked recently with a baseball bat by a man who alleged Barton was fooling around with his wife. In addition, Talladega voters are deciding on city council members and school board members. Now, that school board is under threat of takeover by the State Board of Education. In Montgomery, voters deciding mayor and city council seats today. I'm Angie Norvell. This is the Alabama Radio Network. Black lawmakers have been complaining about legislative district lines, and they've taken their complaints to court. Now, federal judges want lawyers for those black lawmakers to come up with their own map for redrawing Alabama's legislative districts. Black legislators' attorneys contend Republicans illegally sorted voters by race when they drew new district lines. Now, the three-judge panel challenged the plaintiffs to draw a map that keeps the district the same size without following similar racial patterns. A Jefferson County woman fights with paramedics, stopped at a licensed checkpoint complaining of medical issues. Cops found she had outstanding warrants. They say that's when she became hostile with an EMT, jumped out of an ambulance, and ran into nearby woods. She's now in custody. And Athens High School and Huntsville's New Century Technology High School both make Newsweek's recent 2015 Beating the Odds list of the 500 best U.S. high schools for low-income students. An average price per gallon of gasoline in Alabama now $2.16, dropping a penny since yesterday. I'm Angie Norvell. This is ARN. In sports, Alabama places 10 players on the coaches' preseason All-Southeastern Conference teams. The Crimson Tide had 5 first-team selections on that team, including left tackle Cam Robinson, defensive lineman A'Shaun Robinson, linebacker Reggie Ragland, cornerback Cyrus Jones, and punter J.K. Scott. LSU also had 10 players named to the team. Preseason favorite Auburn's lone first-teamer was cornerback Jonathan Jones. Mississippi State's Dak Prescott is the first-team quarterback. Coaches weren't allowed to vote for their own players. Auburn Tigers focusing on their matchup with Louisville. Season opener takes place at the Georgia Dome September 5th. Auburn is an 11-point favorite. Alabama has its season opener also on September 5th. They'll be in Texas taking on Wisconsin. Alec Morris, who was arguably the lowest rated of the 5 QBs on the team by recruiting websites, now has emerged as the most likely of the group to start in the Tide season opener. And Birmingham Barons report record numbers of fans attending their games this year. Over 400,000 have seen 62 home games. Angie Norvell, ARN Sports.
And welcome back to hour number two of Sports Talk Live. This program brought to you in part by our friends at People's Bank. Your hosts, Jason Spiegel and Ronnie Barnes.
All right, back to it. Ronnie, you've got an All-American list we want to take a look at.
Yeah, this is...
I know Auburn is going to dominate this list.
Absolutely, especially at quarterback.
Right.
Because that's all you seem to hear. But maybe
getting
so.
Too much love,
maybe,
of course.
Exactly, maybe so. But no, this is the 2015 ESPN College Football Preseason All-American Team. So we'll run through these. Some of them you will have heard of, and some of them, you know, we may not have heard of. At quarterback, we'll do the offense first. At quarterback, no, and it's not Jeremy.
It should be Jeremy Johnson.
Of course, it should be Jeremy Johnson, who has played in a total of, what, 2 games or started 2 games?
Yeah, and he's played in 3.
Oh, he's played in 3. Sorry. Okay. Offensively, at quarterback, Mr. Trayvon Boykin from TCU. That's well-deserved. Yeah. Running back from the University of Georgia, Nick Chubb. Boy, I'd love to have him in Tuscaloosa. He can carry the mail. Another running back was Mr. Ezell Elliott from Ohio State. Good back.
Can go along with that.
Wide receiver, don't know this one, Tyler Boyd from the University of Pittsburgh.
No idea.
And then a wide receiver, I know this one, Rashard Higgins from Colorado State. Outstanding receiver, was right behind Amari Cooper last year. He had 1,750 yards total receiving, and he had 17 touchdowns. So this guy is going to make a lot of money in the NFL. Just like the kid that we did not know, the Tyler Boyd from Pittsburgh, last year had 78 catches for over 1,200 yards and he scored 8 touchdowns. So, you know, pretty impressive. Tight end, Hunter Henry from the University of Arkansas. Offensive tackle, Spencer Drango from Baylor University. Offensive guard, now some of these names I'm going to miss, okay, is Pat Elfling from Ohio State. Center, Max Turks from USC. Offensive guard, Landon Turner from North Carolina. Offensive tackle, Tunsil from Ole Miss. Tunsil, like your tonsils?
Oh, thank you, Tunsil out.
from Ole Miss. What I don't understand there is, not because they're from Alabama.
Of course not.
No, nothing to do with it.
Nothing at all.
It's why Cam Robinson is not a preseason All-American. Because the reason being, what I've been hearing is by the end of the year, they think he'll be the best offensive tackle in all of college football. It just seems odd to me that he's not listed.
Where's Duke Williams?
You're right. Not there either.
He has been touted
Good
as
point.
the most talented receiver in the nation, and he don't make the list.
And he doesn't make the list. Preseason All-American. Okay, over on the defensive side of the ball, another player from Ohio State, defensive end, Joy Bosa, or Busa, however that's pronounced.
Joy?
J-O-E-Y.
Okay, Joey.
Joy.
I thought you said Joy. I thought somebody named her son Joy.
Joey.
I knew a Joy, a lady named Joy, but yeah, I never knew of a guy named Joy.
I hear you. At defensive tackle from University of Alabama, A'shaun Robinson. That's the first one from Alabama. Maybe the only one. Defensive tackle from Ole Miss. I never can pronounce his name. Robert Kimdichie. Kimdichie.
Sounds good to me.
I think that's something close to that. That's two for Ole Miss. Defensive end, Sean Oakman from Baylor. Linebacker, Scooby Wright III from Arizona.
You got to like somebody named Scooby.
Scooby. He can play, too. Linebacker, and I'll only go with the last name, Cravens from USC. Another linebacker from Notre Dame, Jalen Smith. You'll know this one, a cornerback from Florida, Vernon Hargroves III. He can play. He is an outstanding player. And at safety, Jeremy Cash from Duke University. Another safety, Von Bell from Ohio State. Cornerback, Kendall Fuller from Virginia Tech. That is your defense and your offensive side of the ball. Now for the special teams, Florida State kicker, Roberto Aguayo. Aguayo, he is really good from Florida State. He's perfect in extra points, has not missed a one. He also holds a single season NCAA record for points by a kicker, 157 points in 2013. Punter, here's another one, Tom Hackett from Utah. Where's the kid from Alabama in this?
He is
Scott.
As good a punter as
Absolutely.
I have ever seen.
Hackett's booming average, 46.7 yards a punt. Okay. I don't know. I guess we're just partial to the South anyway.
That's
the way it is.
Do they play football anywhere else?
That's right. And that's basically the special teams right there. So that is your preseason All-American team. I think Alabama had one. Auburn.
That's one more than Auburn had.
Auburn didn't have any. Georgia won. Ohio State probably had about three.
Yeah. Ole Miss
three
a couple.
Three or four. Ole Miss a couple. So there's your preseason All-American poll.
All right, let's jump to CBS. What the CBS experts are saying. Just pull this up, Ronnie. The 2015 SEC predicted order of finish in the Eastern and Western Division. First, the East. Seven guys picking. Who do you think they have?
The East.
East.
At the top or the bottom?
Top of the list at the East.
Georgia.
Georgia, right. Five of these, all seven pick Georgia. Five of the seven take Missouri as number two. The other two took Tennessee.
Does that not tell you how weak the East has been when Missouri has been in the championship game? Is it two or three years in a row?
Yeah, I know they've been in it twice because Auburn and Alabama.
Yeah. That tells you.
Both drilled them.
Yeah.
So.
That tells you really all you need to know about the East.
Right. A unanimous selection for number seven in the East, Vanderbilt, with Kentucky coming in with six out of seven as number six. Now let's get to the interesting part.
Okay.
The Western Division.
Where the real football is played.
Right. Five of seven pick one team to be the best. Who do you think they have?
Auburn.
Five of the seven.
Auburn.
Auburn is picked by five of the seven.
Just Amps. Like I said, it just
Alabama's
just
not getting no love.
It just validates what I said earlier. Okay. Now you explain to me. Alabama finished last year what? 12-2. They got beat in the semifinal for the national championship. Now, granted, they lose several people off of the offensive side of the ball. I got that. Defensively, they got a lot of them back. In some ways, that's good. In some ways, it's not good. Okay, but they go 12-2. And they've had the top recruiting class for the last 5-6 years. Okay? Why did Auburn end up last year?
8-5, I think.
8-5. Bama's 12-2. But you're picking Auburn to win the West.
Yeah, last year's last year.
I knew. That's what I was waiting on. And you're Auburn. Right. Last year was last year. Which means the predictions are really out the roof for Auburn. I mean, these guys, whether they know what they're talking about or not, they think Auburn is really has a legitimate national contender, you know, possibility there.
The number two team, Alabama, would be at four of the seven picked Alabama as the number two. One picked Auburn, one Texas A&M, one Ole Miss. For the one that didn't have Alabama at one or two, he has them at three. Auburn's lowest is at three also. To the cellar dweller.
Yeah.
Let's see who that is. Oh, it's going to be, and you're not going to believe this one. By five of seven votes, pick Mississippi State as the cellar dweller in the West.
Really? Mississippi State.
Or somebody, and everybody in the West is going to be pretty good, so somebody's got to be the bottom team.
Oh, sorry.
$11?
$11? You never
that's what
know.
That's what they're going to pay for. What they're going to pay for a game that you play, $11. $11 is probably a minute.
You get some $11 tickets. Yeah. We're going over to the
you can get some $11 tickets. Atlanta.
Where at?
Around the corner, then probably at the
didn't think
local
about it being
bar.
Labor Day weekend. We'd went over to the SEC championship game a couple of times when Auburn was there. No problem getting a hotel room. We start looking for a hotel room. Everything basically sold out. Unless you want to stay at the Ritz-Carlton for $1,700 a night.
That's
so
right,
we're going to travel down the road.
You're not going to stay there?
Negative.
Come on, just one night.
One night? That's a month's worth.
Kathy, she not want to stay there?
So are you going out to the Alabama game?
Yeah, right in my den.
Right
in my recliner. I can't afford to go to those games.
You
gotta
show them love, Ronnie.
I do. I'm the only one doing it.
Now, so, why were you turning my computer around? For those of you at home, Ronnie's turning the computer around like he didn't believe what I had just
told him. I was seeing if you were on the same website as I was. That's what I was looking at. Because I'm on a CBS Sports too.
This is actually Saturdays Down South, and it's
okay.
Got the CBS predictions.
I got you. So, basically, Auburn is picked to win the West, five out of the seven.
Auburn picked to win the West. Georgia picked to win the East, and in the East, not even close. Georgia gets every vote. So,
yeah, I hear you. Well, hey, kind of piggybacking off of that, you know, along with CBS Sports, you know, we've got those that they feel that are overrated, underrated, or predicted order of finish, and I think that's what you were giving there. One of the guys, he picked his most overrated team, and you'll love this. And it's not Alabama.
Dang.
Your most overrated team is Texas A&M.
Oh, I agree.
The most underrated team, he's saying, is Missouri.
I don't know about that. We'll see.
And then you'll really love this, and I like this guy. Dennis Dodd is his name. His bold conference predictions are Alabama will beat Georgia in the final minutes of the SEC title game. Boy, they beat that.
Smoking the reefer.
All right, next one. Next guy here says most overrated team as Arkansas. I don't agree with that at all. Most underrated team, Mississippi State. Underrated team, Mississippi State.
Several of them have them at the bottom.
That's right. So we'll see. Here's another guy. Most overrated team, LSU. Underrated, Missouri. And then Jerry Hennen, most overrated team. He also has LSU. Most underrated team, Missouri. And the bold prediction there is the West. Let's see. He thinks that it'll be Mark Richt playing either Alabama, Auburn. In the what kind of bold prediction
is
that?
That's bold.
Yeah, boy, that's really
stepping out. He actually has Auburn picked to win it.
Okay, there you go.
But to be on the safe side, when he done that, he said Auburn or Alabama. I will predict that every year.
Oh, yeah.
And more times than not,
absolutely.
I'll be right.
Yeah, and that's, you know, that's not really stepping out there too hard to pick Alabama or Auburn. So,
and I'm going to go out on a limb right now, Ronnie, for basketball season.
Yeah,
and make a bold prediction.
What is it?
That Kentucky and Duke, North Carolina, will be strong this season.
Well, that's pretty easy
write
to say.
That down.
Yeah, and you keep up with it closely.
Oh,
don't
yeah,
you?
Yeah. That's basketball all in the
back of my head. That's it. And the last guy, his most overrated team was LSU. His most underrated team was Texas A&M. So there you go. Bold prediction.
Speaking of overrated, underrated.
Yeah.
Looking back through the years, and I know you're going to say there've been so many, it's hard. What is the best Alabama team? If you had to take one team out of Alabama's past, what team would you take?
1992.
This is the best. 1992.
When they beat Miami like a drum.
I remember that well. Best defensively, best offensively,
Copeland,
or best
Copeland,
overall?
I'm going to say certainly the best defensive team that I can remember in recent history. But of course, you know, I mean, they were great in 2011. They've had so many years they've been really good.
See, I knew you were going to say that.
Yeah, but I mean, it's just different eras, you know, and the game change and kids and players get bigger and they get stronger and they get faster and all those things. But, you know, back in 92, you had Curry and Copeland as defensive ends, and I believe both those were first round draft picks. You had Langham back there as a corner from Hazelwood or Cortland, one of those. I mean, they just smothered. Right. I mean, Gino Toretta, I mean, was that his name?
Yeah.
Gino Toretta? His head was spinning like a top.
How about this? Best coach in Alabama history. Put you on the spot.
Well, I'm going to have to say Bear Bryant.
I hear you.
You agree?
I thought you would say Nick Saban.
No, I'm not. I know I'm not. I'm not going to say that.
I wonder how if you broke it down percentages
yeah.
and championships. And
how it if you went out. By stats, it might be different.
Right.
I mean, it very well could. But I'm going to stick with Bear Bryant just because he is the face of Alabama football. No matter how great Nick Saban was, no matter what he does. I mean, for the old timers, you know, for older guys. You know, it's always going to be Bear Bryant.
And we're about to move out of that era, though. And
yeah.
The people that remember Bear Bryant
right.
are getting fewer and fewer.
You're right.
And Nick Saban will be the face of Alabama before long. So.
That's right, depending on how long he's the face of Alabama.
I hope it's not long.
I bet you don't. I know you don't. Along with everybody else. Nobody wants him around, you know, coaching very much longer.
I think the face you're going to see now is Malzahn as he hangs 60 on Alabama.
I got news for you. That'll never happen.
Never?
Never. Malzahn will never.
It was 44 last year and they went inside the 20.
I know all that. I know.
Six, seven times?
Yeah. That will never, I repeat.
Never.
Never happen.
Never is a long time.
Never will never happen that they'll hang 60 on Alabama. In our lifetime.
In our lifetime.
In the lifetime we have left, and we could be gone before we get home. But
let's don't say that.
Well, it's true. I mean, you know.
Y'all just keep giving me great promo moments.
Yeah,
that's fine.
But I say they'll never hang 60 points on Alabama.
I would.
Why don't you look and see if we can find if they've ever hung 60 on Alabama?
I would bet on that, Ronnie, but I'm afraid I wouldn't be in any shape to eat the steak if I wanted.
It ain't going to happen.
Spit my dentures out.
They're not even going to score 20 this year. So 60 is completely out of the realm of possibility.
We'll look it up during the break.
Yeah.
The all-time
lopsided score.
See
most points Auburn has ever scored against Alabama.
44 is probably going to be up there.
It probably
is. This past year.
Yeah.
So. All right, Jay. As it say with Calgon, take us away.
And let's find this out.
Yeah, we'll solve this. Sports Talk Live, 95.5, the Alabama-Auburn Arguing Edition. We'll be right back with more Sports Talk.
Roll Tide.
Are you ready to take your music to the next level? Need to know how to kickstart your music career?
how to get your music published and licensed, and the million-dollar question, how to get your music played on the radio. Baker Productions has the answer to these and many more questions you may have about the music industry. From demos to full production, they have the tools to get your music to the masses. From audio and video studios to copyrights, publishing, and mastering, MP3s to downloads from your website, YouTube, or Facebook page, they have the tools and experience to help get your music on track. See where your music career can lead at Baker Productions, 256-739-0388.
Hello, I'm Gary Taylor, conductor of the Coleman Community Band, and I'd like to extend an invitation to you to join the band. We just completed our 10th season, having started back in 2005, and currently have around 50 members. Our members range in age from 18 to 85 and come from all walks of life. The band performs at several events around Coleman, such as Oktoberfest and the Strawberry Festival, as well as concerts at Christmas and during the spring. In fact, the Christmas concert is part of the Coleman Community Concert Association series. We rehearse on Monday nights at the Coleman Middle School Band Room from 6:30 until 8:30. The band season begins after Labor Day and goes through the end of May. We take summers off. If you have experience playing a band instrument, no matter how many years it's been since you've played, we'd love to have you join us. You can contact me at 256-636-2754 or any band member. The first rehearsal of the new season is Monday night, September 14. Hope to see you then.
If you haven't visited Scissor Salon, what are you waiting for? Walk-ins are always welcome at Scissors. Scissors has a fresh new look and comforts with you in mind. At Scissors, it's all about you. Friendly professional service and attention to detail. That's Scissors. Scissors Salon, Highway 278 East, 1/2 mile past the water plant. Just look for the big scissors on the roof. Scissors, 735-3089. 735-3089. That's Scissors.
Attention Coleman business owners. You are the people we want to hear from. All of us here at Live 95 want to take a moment to remind you of what life was like before Live 95. Yeah, so we don't want to go back to that. This is just a friendly reminder that Live 95 can help you. If you're a new business just getting started, or a well-established large business, Live 95 can actually help you get tax breaks on your tax bill. Woo-hoo! Hey, we're not kidding. Seriously. Send us an email at studio@live95coleman.com today. Or visit our website, live95coleman.com, and click on support to find out more right now. Do it. Thanks for listening to Live 95. We're Coleman's independent radio.
Five 26, back with you Tuesday afternoon, and mystery is solved. Ronnie,
that's right.
Update everybody on the most scored.
I was proven to be correct.
Yeah, Auburn, barely though. Barely.
Auburn has never scored 60 points against Alabama in a football game.
Should have.
Nor has Alabama ever scored 60 against Auburn. Right. However, in November the 17th, 1900, Auburn beat Alabama 53-5 in 1900. That's the most points they've ever scored.
That game was played in Montgomery, Alabama.
That game was played, that game was played in Montgomery. Probably because Auburn didn't have a stadium.
Well, during that time of the year, the cows were probably grazing on that part
that's
of the
field.
Cutting the grass.
It's fattening them up, right. Take them to the market. But there, we had that little discussion there a few minutes ago. Auburn has never scored 60 points against Alabama, and I said Auburn will never score 60 points. They have been playing since 1893, and they have not ever scored 60 points. And 100 years from now, they still won't have scored 60 points.
But we have only had an offensive-minded coach for the last 2 years.
Well, you must have had one in 1900. Yeah, he scored 53.
Cheerleader's done that.
Yeah, okay.
In Alabama?
Well, now, wait just a minute. Was Gus Malzahn at Auburn in 2012?
Malzahn?
Yeah.
No. Malzahn was coach.
Okay, all right, I'll give you that.
13 and 14.
Was he at all? Huh? He was what?
Malzahn was Auburn head coach in 13 and 14.
Okay. So he was not there.
National championship his first season.
Okay. All right. You said they didn't have an offensive-minded coach. I was going to. Okay. So when Alabama beat Auburn 49-0 in 2012, Gus Malzahn was not there. Is that what you're telling me? Okay.
Right.
The year prior to that, when Alabama beat Auburn 42-14, was Gus Malzahn there? Yes.
Yeah, I think he was there.
Yes, that was the end of the road. Now, he was an offensive-minded coach there, and he got beat.
He was not the head coach.
He was offensive coordinator.
Don't matter.
Offensive coordinator don't matter?
Well, it matters, but if you've got a defensive-minded coach, and it's already pretty well established that Chizik had pulled the reins in, wanted to go a different direction, and Gus actually took a pay cut to become the head coach at Arkansas State.
I got you there.
So you don't take a pay cut unless, you know,
you have a difference of opinion.
Right.
Okay. I was just saying.
And Gene, now in North Carolina, we'll see.
Defensive coordinator there. That'll be interesting.
I think he would have been better off staying with the SEC network.
Well, he was making a fortune off of Auburn.
Yeah, he was.
And I don't guess he is now.
Done a good job. I have to say this for him.
He was a good job in that
SEC
commentator.
Network,
right. I agree.
I think he missed his calling.
Did an excellent job. However, as
you know,
I said.
Who's bad, Ronnie? I hate to interrupt you, but I hate to say this.
Who's bad?
Who is bad on the SEC network?
Who?
And it's not because he's in Alabama.
Oh, of course not. No. Don't tell me you're talking about Reese Davis.
No, I'm not talking about Reese Davis.
I'm on
the SEC network. Think.
Oh, okay.
Played quarterback.
You're not talking about McElroy, are you? You don't like Greg McElroy?
He is terrible. Terrible on the SEC network.
What do you mean? He's smarter than all the rest of them put together.
I agree with that. He is that. But you don't have to be real smart to talk football. You and I are a perfect example.
But now, that's never crossed my mind.
He would fit in good sitting in here with me and you.
That has never crossed my mind.
Oh, listen to him the next time.
Oh, okay.
See if he don't stick out like a sore thumb.
All right. I just never noticed it.
He's terrible. And he always picks against Auburn.
There it is. That's all. Now the truth really comes out, Jason. You told why you dislike him. Anyway, I'll say it for the last time. Auburn has never hung 60 on Alabama, nor will Auburn ever hang 60 on Alabama.
And I'm not going to take that bet because there would be no payday. One of us will die. The other will be able to say, you know, unless Auburn scores 60 this coming season. So.
That ain't going to happen.
Yeah, I wouldn't bet on it.
I would. What? Oh, man. There you go. The argument over 60 points.
Who has scored the most? And Jeffrey probably knows.
In one game?
No, against Alabama.
Oh, I have no clue.
What team has scored the most points against Alabama? If you know that, give us a call, 737-9505.
In the history of, since they've been playing football?
Since they've been playing football.
Oh, okay. I haven't.
And how many points was it?
Yeah, I would be interested in knowing that.
Yeah.
Who's hung the most points on Alabama?
Jeffrey, how about looking that up? You can either text it to me give us a call and fill us in.
So. That's exactly right. Hey, Jace, just kind of changing the subject a little bit. Here's one little one headline. We already talked about Sarkisian out at USC and mixing alcohol and meds. Michael Vick, as you well remember, is now apparently going to be signing with the Pittsburgh Steelers. I like Michael Vick. I always liked him, regardless of what he got into with the dog fighting and that kind of stuff. I always thought he was just a gifted athlete. Maybe not, you know, the greatest quarterback, but a gifted athlete. Texas A&M named Kyle Allen as their starting quarterback. He was their quarterback last year. So that comes as, you know, no great big surprise. There's a top, you know, they do this every year, the top breakout players. They've started at number 40 and worked down to 31. I'm not going to do that. There's none of them really there that we would recognize. However, I would like to do this. You know, Todd McShay is one of the big NFL guru guys. He has listed, you know, certain before the season ever starts, at who his top running back prospects are to be in the NFL next year. And so I will give you those 10. running backs. We'll start with number 10, and then we'll go from there. Some of these folks you may recognize, some of them you may not. Certainly that was the case with me. Storm Woods from Oregon State, the Oregon State Beavers, is listed as the number 10, 10th ranked NFL prospect at running back. So that's number 10. Number 11, Russell Hansbrough from Missouri Tigers, is listed as number 9. Number 8, Devontae Booker from Utah, he's a junior college transfer who rushed for more than 1,500 yards last year, so that's impressive. Daniel Lasco from California Golden Bears. Last year he carried the ball 210 times for 1,115 yards along with 12 touchdowns. Number 6, Josh Ferguson from Illinois, the Fighting Illini. Number 6. Number 5, Kenneth Dixon from Louisiana Tech. That's not a name that you would think about hearing on a top 10 list, Kenneth Dixon, Louisiana Tech.
You always end up with some of these in the NFL.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. There's a lot of them.
Heard of.
Absolutely. Like in last night's game, I believe it was for, I don't remember if it was a Tampa Bay offensive guard or if it was Cincinnati Bengals offensive guard. He was a Division III player, non-scholarship player.
Wow.
And he's projected as a starter for one of those clubs. I cannot remember which club he's with. Number 4, James Conner from Pittsburgh Panthers. Number 3, ranked NFL prospect at running back, Corey Clements from the Wisconsin Badgers, who Alabama happens to open up with. The number 2 rated prospect.
I can tell the way you're saying this. This is going to be an Alabama player.
It is. It's Derrick Henry.
I knew it. I'd
That's
see
number
that gleam
two.
In your eyes, and I could hear the spring in your
That's
voice.
That's right. Number 2, Derrick Henry. The number 1 rated running back is Ezekiel Elliott from Ohio State. That is Todd McShay's top 10 running backs prospects for 2016.
Real quick, Ronnie, Sheila's on the line. Jeff sent this in. 1906, looks like Vandy beat Alabama 78-0.
Vandy? What year?
1906.
Wow.
October 20th, 1906.
Wow.
In early 1900s.
The internet wasn't keeping records that far back, so no.
Oh. I would have never guessed that Vandy would be the one who had hung the most points on the University of Alabama. Again, I believe Jason said they're 78-0. Vandy beats Alabama. So don't hold your breath that's going to happen again. So, hey, we got Sheila on the phone, and Jason is at the phone right now. So, Jason, take it away, buddy.
Hey, Roddy's getting a little cocky there. I had to call in.
He is bad cocky, Sheila, and I had to live with him 2 days a week. So.
I think Auburn may get that 62 this time.
Are you hearing this, Ronnie?
Yeah. I hear it.
He hears you, but we got him where he can't talk. So.
He used to be so cocky, but what's up with that?
Well, they make it into the playoffs last year, and then you know how Alabama fans are.
Hey, I watched A.J. McCarron last night, too.
Yeah, he completed his first pass.
Well, I seen where they got rid of one of their quarterbacks, so he's now the second-string quarterback.
Yeah, and if the first one gets hurt, he might move into a starting position. So.
Roll Tide!
Yeah, I thought he did okay.
What do you think about all this talk Rennie's doing on Alabama?
I just don't know. I mean,
he's building them up high.
He's just not used. I think he's just mad because nobody else is building them up high.
That's right. If nobody else will blow the horn, blow it yourself.
Hey, I went to the Cold Springs game the other night, too.
Boy, that was ugly.
It was ugly. It was, we actually left at halftime. I hate to say that, but we actually left at halftime.
Well, you could have left at the end of the first quarter.
Yeah, I think the last two quarters, they only played 8-minute quarters or something.
Well, what'd they do, put a hot clock in into play?
They both agree on it. They can do it, is all I know.
How many players did Brilliant have, Sheila?
You know, they had a pretty good many players. I don't really remember looking over there exactly, but they wasn't small. They were big, and we're not big. We're just those kids are so tough, Jason. You'll have to come watch them. They're tough.
Yeah, they must be. That was a pretty impressive win.
When they tackle hard.
41-0 ended up 41. What, 41-14?
41-14. It was 41-0 when I left. So.
Yeah, I would have probably been right with you, right behind you, headed out.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah, it was just. We played Danville this week. We'll see how that goes. It's at home.
Yeah, Coach Plains should handle Danville.
Yeah, and then we got Southeastern. I don't even know what or who that is.
They're from the Southeast is all I know.
Yeah. We got Tanner pretty soon, too. I think it's the fourth game, third or fourth game.
Now, what was the Tanner outcome last year?
Oh, they beat us bad.
Oh, was it bad?
But we had, like in the first quarter, we had a couple of chances to score and get up on them. We got penalties, like Patrick. I mean, we were scoring like twice right in the end zone, got bad penalties. So It just went from bad to worse after that.
Maybe this year will be better.
I think they can get them this year. I think they can get them. But anyway, I just wanted to call in and tell Ronnie quit Vince talking.
Well, I appreciate you doing that because I was thinking the same thing but didn't want to say it. So.
I think that might have been a Tennessee team that scored the most points on Alabama, too.
Yeah, I think it was Vanderbilt.
Vanderbilt, yeah.
Boy, if you get that many scored on you by Vandy.
I know. I see that on like a program I was watching. I think it was like 78 or 80 points.
Yeah, 78.
Yeah. And Auburn may do it this year just because somebody keeps running their mouth. Okay, I just wanted to check in and get on him.
All right, thanks, Sheila.
All right, thanks.
All right, it is 20 minutes until 6 o'clock, getting close to supper time. Stay with us as we take another short break here of Sports Talk Live 95.5.
Hey there, Bob Baumhauer here. Last year, the Alabama State Park celebrated our 75th anniversary, but the fun really never ends. I'm happy because this year, special events and new promotions will help us reach out to those who have yet to visit a state park. In addition to providing family fun, our parks are located in some of the most beautiful parts of Alabama. So plan your next visit today. But this year, reach out and bring a friend. For more information, call 1-800-ALAPARK or go to alapark.com.
Brought to you by Alabama State Parks, the ABA, and this station.
Are you ready to take your music to the next level? Need to know how to kickstart your music career? How to get your music published and licensed? And the million-dollar question, how to get your music played on the radio? Baker Productions has the answer to these and many more questions you may have about the music industry. From demos to full production, they have the tools to get your music to the masses. From audio and video studios to copyrights, publishing, and mastering, MP3s to downloads from your website, YouTube, or Facebook page, they have the tools and experience to help get your music on track. See where your music career can lead at Baker Productions, 256-739-0388.
Hello, I'm Gary Taylor, conductor of the Coleman Community Band, and I'd like to extend an invitation to you to join the band. We just completed our 10th season, having started back in 2005, and currently have around 50 members. Our members range in age from 18 to 85 and come from all walks of life. The band performs at several events around Coleman, such as Oktoberfest and the Strawberry Festival, as well as concerts at Christmas and during the spring. In fact, the Christmas concert is part of the Coleman Community Concert Association series. We rehearse on Monday nights at the Coleman Middle School Band Room from 6:30 until 8:30. The band season begins after Labor Day and goes through the end of May. We take summers off. If you have experience playing a band instrument, no matter how many years it's been since you've played, we'd love to have you join us. You can contact me at 256-636-2754 or any band member. The first rehearsal of the new season is Monday night, September 14. Hope to see you then.
If you haven't visited Scissor Salon, what are you waiting for? Walk-ins are always welcome at Scissors. Scissors has a fresh new look and comforts with you in mind. At Scissors, it's all about you. Friendly professional service and attention to detail. That's Scissors. Scissor Salon, Highway 278 East, 1/2 mile past the water plant. Just look for the big scissors on the roof. Scissors, 735-3089. 735-3089. That's Scissors.
Back with you, Sports Talk Live, 543. The number is 737-9505. with you for a few more minutes. The stomachs are starting to growl, and Ronnie's getting ill. Hey, Ronnie,
right.
Throw something at you. Last time, we know Auburn, the kick six, how Auburn rushed the field.
Oh, you're going to make me puke.
So I'm not going to ask you for a date, just ask you for what team they were playing. Hit a few of these. The last time these teams rushed the field.
Okay.
When is the last time Alabama rushed the field?
Okay, is it recent history? I mean, could it be back like 1930? I mean, I wouldn't know that.
Be.
Oh, it could be any time then.
But back in 1930, not a lot of people rushed the field. Wouldn't have been but 10
people.
Well,
the last time Alabama... okay, let me ask this. Were they at Bryant-Denny or were they in Birmingham? Or do you know?
I guess you could say it would be at home.
Well, either one of them would be at home.
Just tell you this.
Just tell
Alabama has never rushed the field.
Well, that's why I was having a hard time.
Crimson
you know
Tide
why they
fans
haven't,
stick by.
Do you know why they haven't?
Like you've been there before.
There you go. There's no need in it.
All right. We know Auburn, 2013, the kick six, 34-28 win against Alabama. Even you, Ronnie, have to say you got every right to rush the field on that one.
Absolutely. And
I think if that had been reversed and been in Tuscaloosa, Alabama would have broke the tradition of not rushing the field.
And with everything that was at stake at that game.
All right. What about the Florida Gators?
The last time Florida Gators, I would say it would be in some year when they beat Florida State.
The Florida Gators have never rushed the field.
Florida has not.
The swamp is holy ground to Gator fans,
okay.
And apparently they respect it enough not to touch it. So
okay. Can't say that for Auburn.
I'm not going to give you any more ones that didn't. That takes the fun out of it.
Okay.
Georgia Bulldogs.
That would be, I don't know the year, but I'll say it would have been a win over Auburn.
It was a win over Tennessee that ended a 9-game losing streak to the Tennessee Volunteers.
Okay. The thing I remember most about Georgia is when they had the blackout. You remember that against Alabama? And Bama torched them unmercifully. You remember that?
Yes, I do.
I do, too.
Here's one you should know. Ole Miss.
Oh, when Ole Miss beat Alabama last year.
Carried the goalpost through town.
Yeah. But for a lot of people, you know, to beat Alabama, and I'll throw an Auburn in there too, to beat either one of those schools, it's like a national championship for them.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, Ole Miss.
You let Vandy beat Auburn.
That was as good as winning the SEC championship, for sure.
Sure.
Vandy beating Auburn?
I said, if Vandy were to beat Auburn.
Yeah, that would be,
you know.
And Vandy has played Alabama and Auburn. That probably has beat them at some point.
They usually play them, tough ball games.
Boy, if Vandy don't get their game in gear this year, you will see a new coach next year.
There's going to be a change. I think
you're talking about some ugly football.
Yeah, two or three wins is all they got last year, and that's not going to be acceptable even at Vandy.
No.
No, nowhere in the SEC is that going to be acceptable.
Ugly losses.
It was terrible. I didn't even watch. I mean, it's so bad, I wouldn't even watch. If there was not another game on, I'd go do something else.
Hey, how about Vandy? Speaking of them, when did they rush? And this tells you something about Vandy football when I tell you who they rushed the field after they beat.
Well, I'll say Tennessee.
Kentucky. 28-17 win over Kentucky.
Well, that's one you want to avoid, to storm the field over, is when you beat the Kentucky Wildcats in
football. Jay Cutler helped the Commodores end an embarrassing, get this now, 23-game SEC losing streak. This happened in 2003.
So it wasn't necessarily that they were beating Kentucky. It was just the fact that they were winning an SEC game.
Yeah, they
won
an SEC game.
Yeah.
Ended a 23-game losing streak.
That's awful. 23. 0-23.
You know, and Vandy has been decent in basketball. Baseball has come around.
They've won some national titles.
But you don't get 70,000 people to a baseball game.
No.
Of course, at Vandy, you don't get 70,000 people to a football
That's
game.
That's right. Unless it's pretty close and the traveling team buys all the tickets up.
But if you do want to see a good a good place to watch a game, that's the ticket to go to.
I've never been there, but I would like to go to Vandy because it is a, I mean, like you said, it is a good place to see a football game.
Not a bad seat in the house.
Right.
All right, what you got, Ronnie?
Hey, this is, we'll do this, and then we're getting kind of close, I know, to the end of the day on Tuesday, and this may be a good way to kind of segment into the end of the road here. The top 10 SEC games of 2015.
Let me guess them.
Okay. Number one.
Number one has got to be Alabama-Auburn.
That's exactly right. Alabama-Auburn is picked as the number one game in the SEC. The number two game in the SEC.
I'm going to say is Alabama-Georgia.
Bingo. That's exactly right. Number three.
Number three would be maybe Auburn-Georgia.
That's exactly right. That's number three. And of the top three games, Alabama and Auburn is in each one of them. Now, here's where it gets a little more difficult. Number four.
Number
best game in the SEC this year.
Four would be, I don't know, I know an LSU is going to come in there.
Ole Miss and Alabama. That's number four.
Come
Ole Miss. Yeah, Ole Miss, Alabama. September the 19th is the date.
I would put Alabama, LSU ahead of Alabama and Ole Miss.
I think so, too. Number five. Let me give it to you.
Yeah.
Auburn, LSU. Number five, fifth best game in the SEC this year.
The Peanut Gallery in here is saying Ole Miss versus Mississippi State.
We'll see if it's on here or not. I doubt it, but we'll see. Number six.
I thought this was Sports Talk Live, not Family Feud.
That's right. Next is number six is Georgia, Tennessee.
That could be an interesting game.
That could be a very interesting game. I agree. Number seven, LSU, Alabama. Now, for me, I would say swap the Ole Miss, Alabama game for the LSU game. But anyway, number seven was LSU and Alabama game. The number eight best game in SEC will be Arkansas and Tennessee. Number nine will be the Missouri Tigers and Georgia Bulldogs.
You can't get too excited when you put Missouri in it.
No, for whatever that's worth. And number 10 is the Texas A&M Aggies against the Arkansas Razorbacks. That is the top 10 games predictions for the SEC in 2015.
All right, Ronnie, while we go to a break, think about, take the Iron Bowl out of it. What is one game that you can't wait to see this coming season? Take the Iron Bowl out. One game.
All right.
We'll be right back. Sports Talk Live, closing it down on a Tuesday afternoon.
In the ARN News Center, I'm Angie Norvell. A woman who died in an early morning house fire in Forestdale identified as a Methodist minister. 55-year-old Vera Johnson was a former minister at Morningstar United Methodist Church in Bessemer. The fire breaking out in her basement apartment at her cousin's home, Reverend Ron Schultz says she will be missed.
A friendly, outgoing, pleasant person. She served in the North Alabama Conference as a local pastor.
The state fire marshal's office is investigating what caused the blaze. All lanes of I-65 North in Chilton County reopened after a morning accident involving two tractor trailers. Officials say one of the drivers was killed. Tuscaloosa police continue their investigation into an accident that killed an 11-year-old Hillcrest Middle School student. She's identified as Emma Kate Jones. Bradley Shane Jones and a 5-year-old in the car were hurt after their vehicle hit a fence at Sokol Park Saturday. Bradley Jones charged with possession of a controlled substance. I'm Angie Norvell. This is the Alabama Radio Network. Police charged three suspects with the slaying of a man found shot to death in a car outside a Tuscaloosa apartment complex. 17-year-old Marquel Underwood, 22-year-old Travoris Shepard, and 16-year-old Samuel Sanders, all charged with capital murder in the slaying of Gregory Somerville, the 25-year-old's body found in the parking lot of Aspen Village Apartments. A sex offender back behind bars after entering a Forestdale home. Jefferson County authorities say a man entered into his uncle's home and found Terry Mitchell trying on his uncle's clothes. Deputies say Mitchell tried to hide under a comforter on the bed. He is a convicted sex offender who was not carrying required identification. The Cheeha Humane Society releasing video of a man who dumped a group of puppies on their doorstep. Calhoun County deputies have identified the suspect and are now looking for him. Several Alabama cities holding elections today. Mayor and city council being decided in Montgomery as well as Talladega, where voters are also deciding school board members. In Athens, ballots are being cast to decide on a 12 mil property tax increase for school upgrades. I'm Angie Norfell. This is ARN. In money news, a big reversal in the final hour of trading on Wall Street. After being up nearly 400 points in midday trading, the Dow Jones Industrial Average drops 200 points at the closing bell. S&P 500 down 0.8%. NASDAQ gaining about 0.1%. Alabama Department of Economic and Community Affairs administering an over $25,000 grant to Jeff Norman Enterprises in Madison County. This to help train 8 workers in techniques to modify the company's quality management system and market opportunities. The business will contribute over $52,000 toward the 8-month training program. Governor Bentley presenting the funding to company president Jeff Norman. Go banking rates analyzing what states spend the most at Walmart stores. Alabama ranks number 4 on the top 10 list. The report says Alabama residents spend approximately 3.4% of their $43,330 median household income, or $123 a month, with the retail giant. I'm Angie Norfell. This is the Alabama Radio Network.
All right, 5:54, and if you were listening to the news segment, you found out Alabama also ranked in the top 10 at number 4 in money spent at Walmart. Now, why is that not surprising?
No, not at all.
No.
Not at all. It may be part of the reason we're getting another Walmart here.
Why Coleman is the smallest town in the United States have 2 Walmarts.
That's right. And this one on the south end is, leading sales in the southeast. Yeah.
Oh, man.
Alabama people love Walmart.
And Alabama also making another ranking, if you've seen the news, Ronnie, per capita. Now, it's not total users, but per capita. Alabama, the number one state in the nation for Ashley Madison.
Oh, no.
Yes. So, Alabama making news all over the place.
Let me tell you why that is, Jason. It's because men are lazy, and Alabama is the first one in the pull-down list.
Right.
I read that on the internet, so it must be true.
There you go. That's an explanation for it.
Making top 10 rankings everywhere. Ronnie, what's your game before time gets away from us
that
you can't wait to see? Taking an Iron Bowl out of it.
Taking an Iron Bowl out, which is going to be, kind of the game every year, regardless of how each team's doing. It's always the biggest game. For me this year, my next biggest game that I look forward to seeing is Alabama at Georgia on October the 3rd. I really look forward to that one.
A game that you picked Alabama to lose.
I did. And why I look forward to it, I look forward to being wrong. That's what I look forward to.
And maybe are Georgia kind of world famous for choking against
Alabama?
They are.
They absolutely are. So that's my pick for the game I really want to see. Alabama at Georgia, October 3rd. So fair play, Auburn, besides
the
Iron Bowl.
I'm going to go to Louisiana to the LSU game. Going to be probably a night game.
Yeah.
And that place gets to rocking. I don't have fond memories of playing Georgia last year, so I'm going to.
Stand away from that one.
Chubb is still running the football against Auburn.
Well, hey, it's going to be here in a hurry. It opens up September the 5th, which is, 1 week from this Saturday.
Right. And Thursday, Chris will actually be picking some games. So.
Yeah, so. Folks, keep your pencil and paper handy or tell your buddies that Chris Andrews will be giving us some games that you might want to be interested in playing if for entertainment purposes only.
Entertainment purposes only, kind of like Ashley Madison.
That's right. I guess you could say that's correct for entertainment purposes only.
All right, Ronnie, remind everybody, Thursday's lineup.
Yeah, we got Chris Andrews will be joining us at about 4:20. Again, talking football, talking, betting and the line and those kind of things for those who are interested. Around 5 o'clock, then we have Dan, the man, Vosta, the Book of Knowledge, as Jason says, with Campus Insiders. He will be joining us talking college football. And then around 5:30, we have our local fishing expert pro Rex Chambers that can certainly help you figure out how you might put one more fish in your boat, which might win you some money at a tournament. So that's the lineup for Thursday.
That's what it's all about. Until then, if you want to listen to the show on demand at the website, just go there, click on demand, listen to the show or any other show this season or last. The music's playing, the stomach's growling, so it's time to go. Until Thursday, Ronnie, let me leave you with a big war eagle.
And let me leave you with a bigger old row tide, Jason.
We'll see you Thursday, folks. Be sure to join us at 4 p.m. for Sports Talk Live, 95.5 Coleman.
Hey, everybody listening to Coleman's independent radio station, Live 95. Stay tuned. A good example of a new program we've added here on Sunday nights called Sunday Night Live. Several of the tracks that you hear here on Live 95, say that five times fast, live cuts of those. Coming up in just a moment, you'll hear a tune from Gary Clark Jr. You already hear Bright Lights quite a bit here on Live 95, but this will be the version of the song Live from the Crossroads Guitar Festival, recorded back in 2010. If you're a fan of live music, just like you're a fan of Live 95, tune in on Sunday nights. From, I believe it's 9 o'clock until midnight for Sunday Night Live. Right here on Live 95, Coleman's Independent Radio.
Another one bites the dust. 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 Yeah.